Hi, welcome to Making the Move to Mixed Reality. My name is Jordan Higgins. I'm the creative director at Bytecubed. We are one of the most recent graduates of the Microsoft HoloLens Agency Readiness Program. And before we get started, I just want to kind of get a quick sense of the audience. How many people here are designers? How many people are developers? Okay, very good. So what we're going to be talking a little bit is sort of like what we as a company, how we sort of made the journey to, you know, going from very little experience with the HoloLens to going, you know, through the Agency Partners Program. First, let me tell you a little bit about Bytecubed. We are a government technology consulting company outside of Washington, D.C. A lot of our work really focuses on enterprise application software, in particular business intelligence, predictive analytics, custom enterprise software, things like that. When we first got our hands on the HoloLens, we were excited. We thought it was going to change the way, you know, potentially a lot of our customers did things. There was just so much potential across all the use cases. And when we went into it, we did have a lead developer who was very experienced with Unity game engine, had some game development experience. On the design side, we were pretty new to 3D. And just to give you an idea, our team was extremely lean. We basically had one lead designer, one lead developer, and that was the primary resources attached to that. We brought in a 3D artist a little bit later on. But really, initially, our initial challenge was to go out and find a proof of concept partner that would deliver real, measurable business value to one of our customers. We didn't want to just build something that looked cool. We wanted to build something that would actually show the potential of how the HoloLens could transform the way one of our customers does their day-to-day business. So we reached out to the National Geospatial Intelligence Agency, and they are the lead agency in the government for all things geospatial. In particular, they provide geospatial intelligence and analysis across the Department of Defense, throughout the executive branch, and they also do a lot of work to support public safety and things like disaster relief, rescue efforts, things like that. They were a really good fit for a mixed reality use case. They already came into this with an innovative culture. They're always looking for new ways to visualize data and to better understand things. And they also have extensive experience with 3D assets, so they're familiar with working with 3D. This made some of the core concepts really easy to kind of get up and running with quickly. And their mission needs were very specifically aligned to a lot of things that are, you know, really stand out about, you know, they make the HoloLens a great tool. It lets them take that 3D data and visualize it at scale. And it can make their analysts who, you know, traditionally do a lot of things to communicate complex geospatial issues and try to, you know, break them down into you know, easy to tell stories. Mixed reality has a ton of potential for you know, more immersive storytelling, more impactful storytelling. And they also have people all over the world. The capacity for remote collaboration is a really strong you know, use case for the scenario for the HoloLens for them. So we started out with a brainstorming session. We wanted to find a good concept, a good, you know, business process that they had to apply the HoloLens to and see what it could do. And what, you know, we went through, we came up with dozens of different ideas, but the one that we really stood out to us is that whenever there's something called a national special security event, these are big events like the inauguration, Super Bowl, you know, things like that involve many different agencies across, you know, state government, local government, federal, you know, government agencies all working together. And in particular, when we saw this picture, this is where it really like kind of think sealed the deal for us. It was, you know, this shows that when they plan and they train these events, they build these large physical models and use them for training and for planning and for, you know, trying out different things. One thing to note about them is that when these national special security events occur, other agencies involved that are authorized to do so can request mapping support. And that mapping support traditionally comes in the form of a printed book of maps. So something, you know, very similar to what you might find commercially, you know, spiral bound, many different points, you know, and it shows all the relevant data related to that event. And it's something that really hasn't changed much. In our envisioning process, we realized that the real value from that product came from the fact that it came with an expert NGA analyst who could, you know, analyze that data, who could help people coordinate across the different agencies. You know, really, like that was, and then right there, that's when we kind of dug in. We thought to ourselves, you know, you know, how can we make that value of the analyst even better? And how can we reduce, or improve the collaboration of people working together on these events? So what if we were to replace those printed maps with a shared holographic mixed, reality experience? And I'm going to show you a video here of what we built. So, let me see here. Let's see, there's... See if we can get the video to come up on the screen here. Here we go. So what I'm going to do here. Okay, so looking at this, we were inspired by the idea of taking a tabletop sort of, gaming environment, something that you can imagine people collaborating around, but then being able to kind of go into that map, click on items, add points of interest, add notes about things that were going on, zoom in on things, zoom out of them, all sorts of things that you couldn't really do with sort of a traditional printed product. And then we thought what would be really cool is now if that analyst could, and those people working with these events, could jump inside that map and start to explore it in first person. Be able to go around and see things like, what is the line of sight from point A to point B? Or, what does it look like from, this position versus this position, things like that. So how did we get there? We basically took a very lean team and a very hard problem and put together, going from zero to full demo in a very short period of time. We're going to share some of the tips that we, from learning, working with the Microsoft Academy, what we learned from there. First thing was to brainstorm everything, to think big, to think, differently than you design traditional applications. You're designing things that are going to be able to live in the world around you, and it requires thinking completely different about it. So we did what was a traditional Post-it Slam exercise. How many people here have done a Post-it Slam before? Cool. So what this really does is it involves is you get everybody in the table. We brought in designers. We brought in stakeholders. We brought in the people that would be using this in the field. And had them just put out as many ideas as you possibly could. And then we sorted those ideas together. You take all these ideas from everybody. You start to notice that some people had similar ones. You group them together. And then you start to notice broad categories of functionality. And then that really helps you kind of, take all those ideas and figure out where to really dig in to create something cool. And one key point that we took away from the HoloLens Academy was asking this question. When we were starting to go through those ideas and figure out which features do we want to include, we asked this question: why would this work better on the HoloLens than as a website, mobile app, or fully immersive VR? Essentially, and that, to be completely frank, that's where a lot of our ideas hit a wall. Because really, like a lot of the things we were thinking about, well, cheaper, faster, produce it as a website, put it on a mobile tablet, a lot of potential use cases. And then vice versa, too. When you think about like fully immersive VR, that's a very isolating experience, but also very feature-rich. So next, we moved into a prototyping phase. And we'll do there. So this is a time lapse we did of one of our physical prototyping sessions. As designers, one of the really big challenges we had early on was breaking out of that 2D mindset and starting to think in 3D. And this is very similar to some of our traditional wire prototyping exercises, like paper models, things like that, low fidelity analog models. But when you start to think about them as things that you would experience as digital objects, then you start to understand where the interface challenges are going to come in, and you start to anticipate where some of the development problems can be too. And one thing we'd also note about this here is this isn't one of our first physical prototyping sessions on this particular project. This was a much, much later one, and it was to solve a very specific interface problem. Whenever we would we would develop something, we would go test it with users, and then when we would have a challenge, we'd go back to physical prototyping to work that out and to, before going through all the process of 3D design and development and deployment, we would try to figure it out there first. And this is honestly where most of our breakthroughs really came through when coming up with features that really differentiated the project. So let's go next. Next, we can't recommend this enough. If you're not familiar with Unity, you want to learn it very, very quickly. There's a great community out there. If you go to the Unity website, there's a ton of tutorials. There's very active forums. With some very basic commands, or with a very basic knowledge of the program, you can start to build very quick prototypes inside of Unity and deploy them. And then that'll also help you work better as designers and developers together. So for that, I wanted to show a quick example of how we took that prototype that you saw and tested it then. Once we had worked it out physically, we wanted to then test it inside the device. And let me see. So right here you can see we basically took some very primitive objects inside of Unity and built the National Mall. There's the Capitol building, the reflecting pool, the Lincoln Memorial. Yeah, as you can see, this is very, very simple. But for us, it helped us get a sense of scale. What is it going to look like when we actually deploy it inside the device? And just as an example, we're not really a Unity tutorial, but we want to kind of show how simple this is to do. We're going to add the Washington Monument in here. Go over here. We'll make it a little taller. Not that tall. Hang on. But for basic purposes, to test initial concepts, stick with primitives, apply textures, apply colors. This is all stuff that you learn in some of the most elementary Unity tutorials. So you can very quickly get up and running with very simple, mixed reality prototypes by just testing sort of these ideas here first. And it'll save you a lot of time. 3D design is time consuming, it can be expensive. Taking that development, putting in all that functionality, also very time consuming. Work that stuff at this level, and it'll make you a lot more efficient. And then the next thing is starting to think about, again, making that transition from 2D to 3D. You start to think about other aspects of the design, too. We spent almost, the bulk of our time initially was really focused on the visuals, on the 3D, because that's the most striking thing about the experiences at first. But as we spent more time with it, we kept coming up with scenes that we just really liked that, capture some of the best aspects of these monuments. This one in particular is from the Jefferson Memorial. But we were finding that it was, that there was something that just felt like it was missing. What we did was we went out and we found an inexpensive spatial audio recorder. This is the Zoom H2N. It records four channels of audio that you can easily put into Unity and then deploy to the HoloLens. And one thing that we found when we went to user testing is that after we put in that spatial audio element, when people would do that jumping into the map, they would be much more inclined to walk around, to look around them. They would look over their shoulder. They would hear something and be more inclined to explore that environment. Very, very, very simple touch, but one that actually had sort of exponential effects on the user experience. And then finally, Holo Toolkit. This is a lot of functionality that'll help you as you're starting to create optimized Unity experiences for the HoloLens. But then we also found as we were building this, there were a lot of functionality that we needed that was helpful to our own workflows. So start to think about as developers building your own toolkit to supplement it. But definitely keep checking back. It's like a lot of the things that we built in our own toolkit, we found that HoloLens, you know, or the Holo toolkit had been updated with it, you know, very quickly thereafter. So, definitely keep up with it. Like, you know, keep an eye out for updates. But in building your own toolkit, you'll can find, especially in your own, you know, however your workflows work, you can find that it'll speed things up considerably. What we're going to show here is actually how our developers, who are our lead developer, actually came up, you know, after working back and forth. You know, again, I say lead developer. I mean, it was basically, you know, one lead designer, one lead developer working very closely back and forth. But he was trying to help us do rapid prototyping faster. So what he came up with was something inside the Unity editor. And let me get that over here. And what I'm going to show you is you know, as an experienced designer, I wanted to see, you know, what, you know, like that picture of the Jefferson Memorial. When people would come into these experiences, we wanted to really, you know, set the stage and go for maximum impact. You know, fortunately, the area we were working with has some really dramatic views. So wanted to be able to kind of quickly put in voice commands that would take a user somewhere, and I wanted to see what that would look like. So in order to do that, we created a custom component. But first things first, let me get the map loaded here. So this is our map of the DC area. We're going to add a point of interest. Let's just a quick show of hands. Has anybody been to the Botanical Gardens in Washington, DC? If you're ever in town, I definitely recommend checking it out. So what I'm going to do is create a voice command that lets us go right there. So I'm going to enter in Botanical Garden. And what the custom script does is it'll take that command now and it'll affix it to an action command, go to. And then we have another script where we've set the location here. We're going to drag that. And so now that's essentially all I've had to do. Now if I want to test that, we'll go to play. And it's going to build. And you'll see, notice here, the command phrase is automatically populated based on what I set the voice command to be. So as a user interface designer that's not accustomed to working with voice, I often found that like some things looked natural to say, but then they didn't really feel natural. And some things were you know, more challenging for users and some were less. Being able to kind of experiment with that flexibility also helped us create better interfaces. But so now to test it, all I have to do is click here, debug force fire. And it takes me instantly to that location. So now, as an experienced designer, I can test all this stuff. And I think what the really cool thing about this is that, again, I haven't really needed to learn a whole lot of Unity past some of the basics. But since our developers understood our workflows, they understood the challenges that was what we were having in coming up with interactive prototypes, they built into our own toolkit the ability to do these things that really streamlined our process to get from brainstorming concept and then into the actual device and helped us be much more efficient about where we actually spent our development and design time. So in closing, I just want to stress, you know, one of the things that we hear a lot from the people who have come by the booth is that there's a lot of people who were basically where we were at. They have a HoloLens or two. They're very excited about the technology, but you know, very limited staff, sometimes limited hours to spend on it. These are some of the things that we found that helped us really kind of move quickly along the process. Starting off with that brainstorming session, and then making the goal of that brainstorming to be focusing on the things that really deliver the, you know, that highlight the value of mixed reality. Then prototype early and often. Like, you know, sometimes traditionally prototyping will stop after that phase and then it'll go to development. Come back to it, iterate on it. If you get stuck on something or something just doesn't feel right, take it back out to physical prototypes and you'll find that breakthroughs can occur there. Definitely check out the community forums and look also for those opportunities to really make your experiences stand out. It's the subtle details that really add polish to an experience that'll really be impactful to your users. And then, you know, I would say the main takeaway, though, that I really want to get across is that particularly on a lean team, if you don't have, you know, a lot of developers and designers who are on your project or are helping you explore this, work as closely together as you can. Stay, like, if you can, you know, share the same space, you know, do that. Learn as much as you can about the way that each other are working. That one example that we showed here saved us so much time and ended up with such a better product from it, that working together will definitely pay off in your experiences. So for next steps, definitely recommend starting with the Holographic Academy. A bunch of great tutorials online and code resources that'll let you get up and running really quickly. Then check out the Windows Mixed Reality Developer Forums. A lot of really helpful stuff there. There's also a specific set of HoloLens developer forums. As you run into questions, there's a very good chance you're going to find somebody else out there who's already had it. We definitely found a lot of help early on working with some of the issues that we ran into. And then join the Unity 3D community. Check out their forums as well. And then finally, we would love to have you guys come by the Bytecube booth. We're in number 103. We've turned this concept application that we built for our government partner, and we've turned it into a holographic DC scavenger hunt, where you can visit the National Mall, jump around, see the different locations, and see, like, you know, how these things look at scale. And with that, we'd also be happy to answer any questions about it. Thank you.